Thank you, Lord.
All right. Now, quickly, because I don't have a lot of time, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. I'm not going to catch a look at all the Bibles. I just hope you understand that it's very important to bring your Word, because us believers live by the instruction manual, which is the Word of God. Say amen to that. Psalms chapter 23, most of you know I've been ministering in each section, dissecting 1 through 6 of Psalms chapter 23. The very first verse says this: "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's relationship with Jesus. Man, you got to get a relationship. And then it says, "I shall not want." Obviously, that's supply. And God has to be our supplier. He has to be our provider. Not your job, but God. And then He'll provide through a job, because if you don't work, you don't eat. Remember? Amen. We need to work. We got to start teaching our kids good work ethic. We've gone away from that. The government is not supposed to feed your children. Say amen a little louder, please. I mean, that's us working hard. And if you work hard at something, that's sowing seed, you'll reap a harvest, and you'll be prosperous in whatever God gives you as the desire of your heart. The very next part, what is that, verse 2? It says, "He makes me lie down in green, not yellow, dead, stony, stickery ground, but green pastures." Thank God my steers, I've got about 180 or so, 90. All of my cattle would rather have green pastures. Amen. And I'm very glad that the rain came, because obviously when He makes us lie down in green pastures, that is rest. And we need to rest. That's what causes a lot of people to get sick, is they go and never rest, right? And so resting is a spiritual thing as well as a physical thing. I say it all the time. When you rest, it does not mean you rest from church. No, you need to be here so you can learn and be around fellow believers. Amen. People that agree with you. I mean, anytime something's going on in my body, I don't put it on Facebook. I might tell just a handful of people that believe. Hey, pray for me. Here, this is what I'm going through. I don't tell everybody. Why? Because I want believers believing with me, because before you know it, you put sickness on, guess what? You'll have a bunch of people not meaning to, but they'll start confessing you're going to die. Yeah, I believe he's dying. He'll be gone for too long. Ha! Yo mama, I'm living. I want to live, not die. Amen? Then it says, "He leads me beside the still waters." That's refreshment. Because, man, good old drink of water, cold. I like them cold. My mom likes them lukewarm. Maybe some of y'all do. I like it cold. We was at the restaurant last night, and they brought me tea, and it must have been hot, and it melted all the ice. I said, "Negatory." I said, "Iced tea." And I heard Jamie say the same thing. She said, "It's supposed to be ice tea." Right? Because I want it cold, man. I want to refresh myself. Praise the Lord. Then we ministered maybe last week, about He restores my soul. And I just talked about that a little bit in the offering message, between your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Now, I want to move on to the very next part that says this. Are y'all watching? Y'all looking? It says, "He leads me." And listen to me real fast. Look at me for a second. When you read the Bible, you need to slow down and dissect some of it. So let's slow down and listen to what He's saying. He? Who's He? Not the lady at Albertsons. Not the grocery stalker trying to lead you to, you know, where your product might be. No, God is trying to lead. He leads me, underline the word leads, in the path of righteousness. Oh, man, let's talk about that, y'all. Come on. When you start saying righteousness, it messes a lot of people up, because then the enemy reminds them of all the bad things they did in their past. Most of y'all know my testimony. I mean, being raised as a pastor's kid, my dad was a preacher, pastor since 1970. I was born in 69. Most everybody knows my dad worked for John Wayne, the Duke, in Arizona, Casa Grande, where I was born. And we lived in Arizona and then moved to Carlsbad, New Mexico. And then from Carlsbad, my dad was building oil rigs and moved to Odessa, Texas, where there's a lot of them. It's beautiful, beautiful in Odessa. You ever been there? There's a town close called No Trees. Anybody ever heard of No Trees? Woo! But that's where we were raised and graduated from Odessa High, and then ranched in Sonora and Fort Stockton and, you know, different ranches, and then finally moved to San Angelo. Oh, thank God we moved to San Angelo, because that's where I met this woman. Beautiful lady right here. Oh, keeps me in line. Cooks chicken fried steak for me. Man, God blessed me with a wonderful woman. So now we start talking about righteousness, because the party was at my house during college, being raised a preacher's kid. And I had a good time, because I know how to, I mean, I just life of the party, right? I mean, why be boring? But what happened is, for 2 years I walked away. God, remember the word always says, and always remember this, that the Bible says God never leaves you and never forsakes you. Amen. So it wasn't that, you know, God left me, because he don't leave you. But I just kind of walked over here in a different kingdom for about 2 years. And again, the party was at my house. And so 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas. And that's where everybody would show up. And finally, one day, being a believer, because it was 1979, May the 10th, that I gave my life to Jesus. I'll never forget that day. I was so excited. And I was 10 years old. But then going into college and, you know, messing up, when you start talking about righteousness, that the word is talking about here, then the enemy kept bringing up all the stuff that I did in those 2 years primarily, and in other times, of course, you know, just doing wrong. But here's one thing that as a believer you've got to get into your heart, is that when you give your heart to Jesus, Romans 10:9, when you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Remember, it says thou in the King James, which is all of us. Thou shalt be, say it with me, saved, right? You're saved, you're born again. Right when that happens, the Bible says you're made righteous. And the enemy tries to tell you you're not, though. And when you start talking about he leads me in the path of righteousness, he does. And there's a guidance that God does. And so we need to talk about it, because really that's what it is, guidance. He's trying to guide us into the pathway of the blessing of God. Now, if you don't want to go down the blessing of God, you can stay on the bank. And you will watch everybody else be blessed. Because the river of blessing is always flowing. But it's up to you and I as a believer to jump into the blessing Because God is trying to guide us to the blessing, you see. So we've got to figure out what righteousness is. And most of us know that righteousness is literally defined in the word, in the Hebrew as well as the Greek, is this: to make things right, or to make right, really. To cleanse. So righteousness is just simply doing what's right, y'all. Okay? When we establish that in our life, then when the devil brings a lot of temptation, right, and that we've fallen to at times, it has nothing to do with your righteousness, because praise God, God's trying to lead you in the path of righteousness, doing what's right. He's trying to make right. Now, obviously, we can not do right, and we can do unrighteous things. But listen to me. That's why Jesus died, is He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Even if we did something unrighteous, thank God we have grace, we have mercy, we have forgiveness, we have repentance, and repentance is turning away from the temptation to do wrong that we fall to at times and then not do it again. It's not mercy and grace. It's not to have this mentality that if we do wrong, thank God we're forgiven. I mean, it's true. But God will actually want you to do right. Because you have the power. And remember, man, you've got to know that word power is a Greek word called dunamis. And dunamis power gives you the authority to overcome doing wrong or the enemy. I mean, in other words, it gives us, I mean, yes, we got grace and mercy, praise God. But man, when you understand righteousness, and that you have the power of Jesus living in on the inside of you that gives you dominion and authority and power over sin, then it makes a believer not want to sin. Why? Well, because I don't want to hurt the Father. Then when I sin, do something wrong, I've testified many times in this church about messing up. I'll tell a story or two about traffic. Father, please forgive me. You know, I'm not saying that we're trying to be self-righteous. I'm just saying we've got to have an understanding that God's trying to lead you in a path of righteousness. Why? Because you're righteous if you're born again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See? Okay. So what then, when you come to church, you start learning how to live by the word of God and do right. Not be better than someone, we talked about earlier. Not be an old goody two-shoe. But just knowing that, praise God, I want to do right. And then when I don't and something happens, you know, because a lot of times this is how, remember when you fall into diverse temptations, you might just be walking, minding your own business, and then fall into some goofy thing, right? Right? I mean, you're not setting out to go do something wrong, usually. You're just kind of minding your own business, and then all of a sudden, you have this temptation. Well, God's just trying to teach us that, hey, He leads us, because He's a good shepherd, into the path of doing what's right, righteousness. That's why we live by love. You know, we're not against anyone. We just want to know who we are in Christ Jesus. That we want to speak the truth. We're not against anyone. But if someone asks me if it's okay for a man to be a woman, I'm going to say no, because God didn't create them that way. God created them in the image of Himself. If He created you a man, then be a man. Amen. Well, what happens then, there's confusion. And we just got to find out that that's the last part of the soul. Remember? What was that? He restores my soul. He's trying to tell a believer, hey, if you start living by the Word of God, all that confusion that the world, the enemy, is trying to bring to you to create confusion, all that will be, you'll get delivered of all that if you live by the truth of the Word of God. And it's going to take preachers bold, man. Woo! Bold to preach the gospel because, man, you're seeing what's happening all over the country. You say anything about, hey, man, I just believe in marriage between a man and a woman. Woo! You get persecuted, man. Well, they call it woke. Well, someone's got to be able. But yet, we still are preaching in love, trying to preach the truth, and we cannot be ashamed or afraid of preaching the truth of the Word of God because that's righteousness. That's just being what's doing and doing what's right. Right? If not, you're going to have a lot of confusion in the church, and you're seeing it. You're seeing what they call seeker-friendly churches. And they get huge. There'll be 5, 6, 7, 10,000 people. And they'll tell you, we just don't want to offend. Well, wait a minute. If we don't want to offend, we cannot tell the truth. Because our country is getting crazier, right? We're starting to believe things that was right as though they're wrong. All you gray hair folk, remember when Grandma and Grandpa taught us what was right is now being preached that that's wrong. That's wrong. And what's wrong is now right, right? And so there's major confusion. And so we're going to have to understand that God is trying to lead us into the path of righteousness. In Isaiah 58:11, God guides us. If you really read that, let me read it. I got it right here. The Lord, verse 11, Isaiah 58. The Lord will guide you. In the New King James, it says continually. And satisfy your soul in a drought. And strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Amen. That's righteousness, y'all. Okay. In Proverbs chapter 12, in the Amplified, about verse 26, the Bible says that the righteous man is a guide to his neighbor. And so we're all supposed to be teaching what's right. Why? Because our shepherd is leading us in the pathway of righteousness. So then what we can do is when someone's getting beat up by the world, or they're going through a major struggle where there's suicidal thoughts, there's major depression, then it's up to all of us believers to get those people out of that. We might have to pray over them. We might have to speak to the mountain. Because the Word says when you speak to the mountain, whatever the mountain might be in someone's life, I could probably go to each person and there's some kind of mountain that you're either dealing with now or you've dealt with in the past. Well, that mountain, the Bible says, we can literally speak to it and command that mountain. Listen, when you command something, there's got to be some authority, right? I mean, you can't just tell your child politely not to hit their mother or not to burn their hand on the skillet. No, you got to do it with some authority. What'd you say, girl? You know, you get that attitude, right? You women have it. All the men are like, yeah, she got it. Well, it's just authority because that's all you're saying. Is you're saying, hey, you're not going to do that, boy. You hear me? You are going to act right or I'm going to take this belt off. And as my mama said, I'm going to beat you till the blood runs. She said that to me. I thought that was abuse, personally. I knew what she was meaning, though. So, y'all that are watching, someone goes, it worked. It did. Hey, quick story. Y'all remember? I was was interviewing me in a magazine, a team roping magazine. Or was it PRCA? I can't remember. It was one of the magazines, and one of the questions is, who are you most afraid of? And I put my mom. And then my brothers call when the article comes out in that magazine, and she goes, hey, mom's a little upset at you. I said, why? Well, because you told the whole world that she beat you, basically. What I meant is I respect her so much, you know, that, man, when she said it, well, that's how you speak to a mountain, y'all. You command it to be cast into the sea. You don't doubt in your heart. You don't say, fear, please leave. No, you say, spirit of fear, you get out of here in Jesus' name, because God didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Listen, so when you're speaking to the devil, when you're speaking to the enemy, you speak with authority. Devil, get thee behind me. That's what Peter did. Amen. Get under my feet, in other words. When the enemy's trying to bring in some guilt or condemnation for doing something wrong, you tell that enemy to get out in Jesus' name. When your body starts getting sick and you're being led in the pathway of righteousness, you tell that devil where to go. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're not going to cause me to go to unrighteousness. I'm going to go closer to God. I told all kinds of college kids, because that's really where our ministry started, in college. And I've told them, listen, when you sin, don't run from God, run to Him. Because the enemy wants you to run away. He makes you have guilt, condemnation. That's not what our God does. Because He's leading you in the path of righteousness. And when He leads you in the path of righteousness, it's not guilt. Remember, the Word says, therefore there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But man, the devil try to bring all kinds of guilt and condemnation. And again, a righteous man is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. In Matthew 6:33, as I start closing, remember, we know that's a very, very familiar scripture, right? 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the, remember, in other words, we just got to seek first His righteousness. And then things are added to us. Amen. And then finally in 1 Timothy, man, I thought I would get to, for His name's sake as well. It's 11:51. Y'all look at the clock. Ooh, it goes fast. 1 Timothy 4:8, listen to what it says here. Again, we're talking about how God will guide us in the pathway of righteousness. That's what this book's for, y'all, this Bible. Is He just wants to lead us in the pathway of righteousness. Why? Because we're righteous people. I'll say it for the third time. Not goody two-shoes and not better than someone else. We just know who we are in Christ. And it doesn't have to be shown to other people how righteous you are. No, don't do that. Just live right. Amen. And if you live right, you know what people's going to do? They're going to be drawn to you. What do you have? Why are you always happy? You're not the one that gets up on the wrong side of the bed for some reason anymore. Right? I mean, man, I want to be around you because, man, it just seems like you're blessed all the time. Amen. That's the Word of God, y'all. God wants you blessed and highly favored. I mean, He's made you in the image of God, in His likeness. So when 1 Timothy 4:8, you know what it says? For bodily exercise profits a little. I mean, it's good to get your body in shape. It is. But it can't be the main thing, because it profits a little. But look what it says after that. But godliness is profitable for all times. You see, God's trying to get us all back to understanding that when Jesus is Lord, He leads us, He guides us in a pathway of doing what's right. He's always wanting to guide you. No, find the answer in this book. It's in here. You might have to dig, or you might have to call some of your believer friends and say, hey, would you help me? I mean, I can tell that's a woman of God right there. So I'd be going and saying, hey, struggling in this area. Well, then when we're helping our neighbor to do what's right, then what do we do? It's not necessary to give your opinion because it really is not good, right? But if you go, well, as my spiritual dad taught me, if it were me, and anybody I've counseled in this group, any or out there in the rodeo areas, I always say, well, if it was me, here's what I would do. And then I would take them to the Word of God and say, what I would do is, let's just go right over here and let's just see. What I would do is I would be not conformed to the world, but understand that I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. So what I would do is I would start reading your Bible more than the fishing magazine. I'd probably pick up this a little bit more than learning how to become a bull rider. No, don't do that. Just be a roper. It's a lot safer. God wants you to understand this morning, He leads you in the pathway of righteousness. Why? Because you're right. So here's the question as I leave. Are you righteous? Now, I say that with this. If you're born again and Jesus is Lord, then you're righteous. Now, you may do some unrighteous things, but it has nothing to do with your righteousness in Christ. You just got to start getting your mind to start doing and learning what's right. That's what I'm going to do. And it might be hard sometimes to forgive someone, especially when they stab you in the back over and over and over and over, right? But I'm going to do what's right. Because really, when you don't forgive someone, it's not hurting them. It's actually hurting you. Because you're holding resentment. And every time you see them, it brings that resentment back, that bad feeling, that negativeness. But when you forgive, because that's doing what's right. Whew, Jesus, there's freedom, right? You're righteous. Okay, so if you're here today or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, there's going to be a day when you stand before God. Everybody individually. Not with your family, not with any friends. By yourself, you're going to stand before God. But what is He going to say? Well, the Bible, not some preacher, the Bible says, He says one of two things. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Son of God. Remember? John 3:16. Dalton spoke that scripture yesterday. If you confess Jesus and invite Him into your heart to be the Lord of your life, when you stand before God one day, and I'm not speaking death on anybody, I speak life over you, but there's going to be a day when you're going to stand before God. And if Jesus is Lord, you know what God's going to say? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter, come on, into the rest, the joy of the Lord, heaven. Listen to me though, listen if you hadn't heard anything. Listen to what I'm fixing to say. If you decide, because God gives us a free will. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. You should listen to it. You can go to our website and listen to every one of these messages. If you decide, because you have a free will, to say, nope, I don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff. I don't believe all that junk. You have the right to say and believe that. You can say, nope, I don't believe any of that stuff. If you do, and God is not a man that he can lie, you're still going to stand before God. And when you stand before God, he's going to have to say, depart from me. You see, hell was not made for all of us in the beginning. It was made for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven because they thought they were God. But Adam and Eve, remember that story? Adam and Eve sinned. Sin nature came to the earth. Jesus, though, came. God sent Jesus so that he can be the Redeemer. And now we have to receive Jesus. Thank God for that, because, man, it would be death because of the law. So if you don't want to have anything to do with Jesus, then God's going to have to say, depart. I don't want him to do that to no one. So I present to you life, but there's also death. I present to you blessing, but there's also the curse. You individually have to choose Jesus, which is the blessing and life. So I'm asking you to do that. I can't make you. I can't make you. You're going to have to decide, I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven. But then you can have heaven here. God can, he'll answer every prayer. You can cast all your burden on him. You can talk to him individually. And if you spend enough time with him, he'll talk back and you'll be able to tell his voice. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll forgive you. But is Jesus Lord? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with all of us believers. If you're watching us and you've never made Jesus your Lord, then I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer out loud with all of us. I'm going to pray it, and I'm going to pray Romans 10:9. And we're going to ask Jesus to become our Lord. And when I pray it, I want even a believer, if you're a believer, all you're doing is learning the prayer. But you're not getting saved again, but you may be praying with someone around you. We'll just pray it with them. So if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And I'll pray the prayer. You pray it after me out loud, because I want your ears to hear it, but mean what we pray. And I want you to ask Jesus to become your Lord. Amen. So out of your mouth, and again, believers, would you pray this prayer as well with all of us? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of every sin, because I believe you've been raised from the dead. And the Bible says that I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. But I need heaven here. So help me learn the Bible and how to live as a Christian. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, do you know what's happening in heaven? The Bible says angels are rejoicing. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, I'm going to ask you to do something. Not come to the front, and I will not embarrass you. With no one looking around, if you just gave your heart to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to just raise your hand up and then put it right back down. And all you're doing is you're acknowledging Jesus before a man, me. And I'm going to give you a Bible. But here's what the Word says. If you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. In other words, never be ashamed that Jesus is the Lord of your life. So if you just gave your heart to Jesus this morning, with every bit of boldness, don't be ashamed. When I count to three, get that hand up, and you're saying, God, I meant that prayer, and Jesus now is my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. That's all I want you to do. Again, with boldness. You ready? At the count of three, get that hand up if you just gave your heart to Jesus. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. My guys saw the hands, and if you get a Bible, then obviously we saw your hand. If you didn't get a Bible, just raise it up real fast. Make sure we saw you, and I want to give you a Bible. Praise God. All right, look at me, everybody. Did everybody get a Bible that raised their hand? If you didn't, you need one, because that's our manual, right? If you got a Bible, now you're my brother or sister in Christ. When I'm hurting, I need you, man, because we're in the family now of God. Maybe not blood, but in the family of the Lord. But when you're hurting, you got a whole big family, not to beat you up for doing something wrong, but just to build you up, amen? And that's what our job is. So we got new family members that's worthy of a big round of applause, amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, that means you're born again, then we acknowledge that. We're not ashamed of it. We let people know, yep, Jesus is my Lord. Because that in John 14, that's the only way to get to the Father in heaven, is by Jesus. Amen?